97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Welcome back. 4 hours of broadcasting. Mispronounce one name and it follows you through the commercial break as Kim is teasing me about how I pronounce Liam Neeson's name. It's not Liam, it's Liam, apparently.
Apparently. I mean, no one would see L-I-A-M and say Liam.
Why?
Because that's not how you say it.
L-I-A-M.
Ethan and Sue agree.
I love Liam Neeson movies. They're all the same. It's like a rubber stamp. Like he's somebody hurts his family or abducts his child, and then he just goes out and kills all of them. He's came up with the perfect set of, it's like Rocky. Like you always know what's going to happen, but that's okay. I enjoy watching him anyway.
I will hunt you down, find you, and kill you.
I will kill you. It'll kill you for what you do. Yeah, that's pretty much it, isn't it? Yeah, we're keeping it.
Ethan's still laughing.
Why are you still laughing at me?
I don't know.
You know, just a regional thing. I don't know, Leah. I've always called him Liam.
Whoa. It is not a regional thing. Do not chalk it up to that.
In Ohio, we call people Liam.
Hey, please text the text line 314-241-9797. And please, is Liam, is that a regional thing? Do people on the East Coast say Liam and the West Coast says Liam?
Ethan said he thought I called him Leon.
Might as well.
Liam Neeson. I'm renaming. I'll call him whatever I want. It's my show, so it's good. Sorry. I'll call him Liam from now on if it makes you feel better.
No, it's because it's right.
Is it? Okay. All right. We'll get it right. I promise you that. We're glad you're back with us this morning. We've still got plenty to go here. We're going to talk to State Senator Nick Schroeder. I mentioned the other day that Steve Butts, a Democrat from the city, I think he's pretty regular on Reardon's show on the roundtable representing the Democratic point of view, has come up with a red flag law. And we invited the representative on the show to talk about that, but he has not had time to do that this week, he said. So I also had reached out to Nick Schroeder. I was going to have them both on together and let them kind of debate this issue because Nick has pretty much the mirror opposite of the red flag law. Nick's proposal that he has already submitted that you can pre-file December 1st would effectively ban red flag laws in the state of Missouri, the enforcement of red flag laws. Plus, it's got a couple of other great things in there for Second Amendment supporters and for your right to keep and bear arms and defend yourself and all of that stuff. So Nick is going to join us this morning at about 8:35, and we're going to talk more about his bill and maybe his thoughts on Steve Butts' bill, since we don't have Butts here to talk about it. But we're going to get to that for you in the next hour. We're going to talk about the need for blood donations in the area around the holidays because, let's face it, people are busy. They hit this kind of lull in the summer, too, when people are on vacation and all of that. So we're going to talk to the Red Cross about a lot of their needs right now as we head into the holidays, for sure. All that coming up. Jim Talent is going to join us. I've been watching with fascination the media this morning reacting to Donald Trump. It sent troops onto a tanker somewhere. What's he going to do with the oil? That's the question. Remember, we'd have been far better off when we invaded Iraq all those years ago if we kept the oil, but we didn't because it wasn't why we were there, supposedly. But they asked Donald Trump yesterday, so what are you going to do with this tanker full of oil that we've just swooped down and taken? He goes, well, I guess we'll keep it. Which
hadn't thought that far.
The top of their heads blew off. They can't believe that he would consider doing that. And we're going to talk to Jim Talent about that because he's an expert in the national security and defense areas as well. So we'll get Jim's thoughts for you coming up here shortly. Right now, Ethan and I are going to get to our top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist, presented by Rhino Shield.
In order to be in the MAGA movement, either you're a racist or you had to overlook a lot of racism. And so which is worse?
Yeah, Don Lemon there, who's just in, I mean, he was already off the rails. The guy's The guy's now skidded off, and he's tumbling down the side of a mountain somewhere because he's completely insane. It's the Hillary Clinton approach to deplorables. Basically, if you're connected to Donald Trump, you have to be a racist because you don't agree with Don Lemon and his point of his worldview.
Important at this moment for us to gather together, for us to figure out. I don't know how to do it because these guys bring out the worst in me. So instead of demonizing our Somali community, we're going to do more to welcome more in. Welcome more in. Instead of cutting the program, we're going to enhance that.
Yeah, there's Tim Walz for you. I saw a meme yesterday where the special needs community is begging people to stop comparing them to Tim Walz. I mean, honestly, this guy doubling down on the – it may get him reelected. Minnesota is a crazy blue state, and his nutso stuff up there might get him reelected. But that guy was almost the vice president of the United States. What was the Democratic Party thinking?
And Crockett gets in, Allard gets out. They still got another Democrat or two in, but oh my God, she makes Kamala look bright.
Yeah, Kevin McCarthy there talking about Jasmine Crockett running for Senate. Jasmine Crockett is running for Senate in the state of Texas, and what a gift it is to the GOP.
I do not have time to address the noise. My silence does not mean that I am complacent. Mm-hmm. My silence does not mean that somehow Turning Point USA and all of the handpicked staff that loved my husband and my husband loved them is somehow in on it.
Erica Kirk speaking out there, and I'm so glad that she is. I've watched this widow. Her husband's been gone only a few months, and what she's had to endure from the right side of the spectrum, from people. I mean, there are crazies out there who celebrated the death of her husband, and then there are the people who float these conspiracy theories that it, you know, there had to be something more to it. There were, you know, Egyptian airplanes following Erica Kirk around the globe. Candace Owens has floated that one. Tucker Carlson supports that idea. He said, I'm not saying I know what it is, but it's the truth. All of these things suggesting that there were an abundance of foreign cell phones in the audience that day. What does it mean? I don't know. But let's suggest there was some darker forces at work here. And, you know, maybe it was the Jews. They effectively suggested the Jews killed Charlie Kirk because he had somehow insulted them. I mean, all of it has got to be crushing to that young lady.
Well, maybe there is more to the story, but some of these things that Candace has floated out are ridiculous. And what is irritating to me is that she's airing out all of this, I would call it dirty laundry, and she's acting like she was best friends with Charlie, which at one point it looks like they were close, but maybe not recently, you know, shortly before he passed. But to say that, you know, for example, Mikey McCoy, the chief of staff for Charlie, he's on the Charlie Kirk show, if you listen to that, to say that he had anything to do with it, he was on his cell phone right after, I guess, calling his dad, which is, he's the pastor, Rob McCoy of Charlie Kirk, to say that he had something to do with the killing or Erica. I mean, there's just all these things. It's just, Candace has been, it seems like, trying to monetize his death. And you know that thing where they had, TPUSA had invited Candace on.
Yeah,
and said,
then
hey,
she didn't
let's
come.
Just, well, she said something like, you know, you didn't tell me, TPUSA, that I had to be there in person and on this particular day. I'm not doing that. So it sounds like it's not happening anymore.
Well, it's an unfortunate, to be honest with you. If there's evidence out there that somebody else was involved, I'd love to see it. So far, Kash Patel claims there isn't. I just wanted to play that for you. I thought Erica Kirk did a courageous job yesterday on the couch there with Harris Faulkner explaining all that. All right, coming up, we're going to get to our friend Jim Talent, former U.S. Senator, and get his take on the Venezuelan oil tanker that is apparently now in U.S. possession. We'll be right back.
Could this escalate the conflict with Venezuela? Well, you know, we've had sanctions on Venezuelan oil since the first Trump administration.
And Biden kept them.
Kept them.
Yeah.
So to me, this is absolutely normal. I mean,
seizing an oil tanker?
Yeah. We've been seizing Iranian oil tankers in the past. We also, according to the law that I've read, that oil is up for forfeiture. So we could keep that. We've kept Iranian oil in the past.
We got former Senator Jim Talent on the phone here on this Thursday morning. And Jim, that was a lady named Beth Sanner, who CNN promotes as their national security analyst. I do not think that's the analysis CNN was looking for, but she basically said this Venezuelan boat seizure is a nothing burger.
Oh, my gosh. What they consistently do is not engage. I'm talking about the administration's political opponents. They don't engage with the policy. They don't say, okay, we like the policy, we don't like the policy, we have these criticisms of it. What they do is they keep trying to delegitimize perfectly normal exercises of executive power. That was true with regard to our attacks on the drug boats, and now we are capturing the illegal boats that are carrying illegally in violation of our sanctions. They're carrying oil. There's a shadow oil fleet that the Venezuelans have, the Iranians have, et cetera. So we're enforcing the oil sanctions. And by the way, these are international sanctions, if that matters. And they don't like that either. So, but they won't engage with the policy. They won't tell us, well, we support Maduro's regime, or we don't like putting pressure on Maduro's regime, or whatever. And it's frustrating if you take it too seriously. So I generally don't. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I'm watching the headlines, and you know, there's all this faux outrage. You know, Trump's going to war. What's he doing? Why are we doing this? And I'm thinking back. Wait a minute. During the Biden administration, we did this. During the Obama administration, I could be wrong. I know we were stopping tankers when we had embargoes on. And here this is being made out to be something it's not. It's a great point.
We're enforcing sanctions.
Yes.
This sanctions regimes go back decades and decades and decades. And we're enforcing sanctions. We have sanctions, and we're enforcing them against Maduro, not only because he is tied at the hip to these cartels that are hybrids between very powerful criminal gangs and irregular militaries, but also because he's hosted Russian ships. He's a tool of Chinese influence, and his regime is upheld by Cuban security forces. It is a hostile adversarial regime in the Western Hemisphere, and it's a core American national security interest, of course, to secure our strategic environment. That's what the administration is doing. So, I mean, you know, you can't please these people, which is fine. But again, I wish they would actually criticize the policy if they don't like it, instead of constantly trying to treat something as if it's abnormal, when it's not only perfectly normal, it's good. I mean, this is a praiseworthy thing that the administration is doing.
I like what Kristi Noem said about it. She said, there's no place on land or sea where we won't find you. And I think that's an important precedent to set for a lot of these dictators who have been jerking the United States around. And under Biden, we took it. And so now it's time to say enough is enough, and we're going to stop this.
Well, look, the administration is following an America First foreign policy, which I think is exactly the right thing to do. If the United States is strong, secure, and free, there is hope for the rest of the world. But it's increasingly clear that the critics are following an America Never policy. In other words, anytime we try to protect America's interests, even if we're not doing it first, they complain. And they don't complain by saying, well, we want these illegal oil shipments to support a Maduro regime, which is hostile to the United States. They say, well, it's unconstitutional, or it's illegal, or something like that, when it's simply not. It's the exercise of power on behalf of American security, which is what the president is supposed to do. Okay.
Yeah, we're talking to Jim Talent, former Missouri senator. I want to get your reaction because obviously the drug boat issue is part of all of this too, and blowing it up. I wanted you to hear what your former political opponent Claire McCaskill said about this yesterday.
And I got to tell you, I want to indict Hegseth. I want to indict Trump for this, what they're doing here. But really, the military leaders, the ones he had in the first term, would not have done this. They would. Where is Kane? The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Why isn't he? The military deserves better than this.
What's your reaction? She's calling for indictments suggesting, again, war crimes taking place here, Jim.
Yeah, well, the Claire McCaskill I knew when I served with her in the legislature would not have said that, okay? whether she actually believes it or not, I don't know. That's, of course, the Democratic Party line now.
Yeah.
So as I said before, there are subnational groups that are hybrids of gangs and irregular militaries. The cartels are one of them, but there's others as well. I mean, pirates are a classic example of that. And we have been acting, including using elements of the United States Navy, to stop piracy, going back to what, the Barbary pirates?
Exactly.
In the early 19th century. Islamic radical groups are another example of that. They are criminal gangs in the sense that they sell drugs, they engage in all kinds of illicit activities to get money, but they're also, of course, irregular military forces. So here we used one element, the Coast Guard, a uniformed military service, to stop oil shipments. In other cases, we've used the United States Navy and our intelligence and special operators to go after drug operators. So it's the right thing to do, and the administration is going to continue doing it. And I guess what Senator McCaskill is saying is that when the Democrats get into power, they won't. They'll just let the oil shipments go. They'll let the drug cartels send cocaine and fentanyl into the United States. Okay, if that's what that's the policy they want to follow, they can follow it. But all these discussions about presidential authority and international law and the rest of it are beside their attempts to evade the real issue.
I would agree with that 100%. Jim Talent, thank you as always. Have a great week.
You're welcome, Mark.
We'll talk soon. Good to get him on here. Yeah, in fact, I've got the poster on my wall in there from one of Brian Kilmeade's first books, and it was titled Thomas Jefferson and the Tripoli Pirates, where in the very beginnings of our country, he had to dispatch the United States Marines to stop pirates from harassing U.S. Ships that were coming and going in that region. We've been fighting this battle of piracy for years and years and years. There's nothing unusual except now we're able to do it with drones instead of having to necessarily put U.S. lives at risk. So stick that in your pipe and smoke it. All right. Coming up, we're going to get to Kim on a Whim. Next hour, Nick Schroer is going to join us to talk about his idea to make sure that there are no overbearing red flag laws in the state of Missouri. We'll be back in just a minute. All right, so I don't know if you guys saw this story or not. It was a surprise to me because the guy kind of drifted into the background. I hadn't heard much out of him in a while, but Kyle Rittenhouse is back in the news. Made a surprise return to social media Wednesday. And, of course, he's the one who ended up shooting some people in self-defense and, you know, was acquitted of that, even though the radical left went after him as somebody who had no right to be out protecting the community as the riots were going on up in Wisconsin back in, was it 2021? Yes. He acted in self-defense and he was acquitted of all of that. Of course they wanted to run him out of the rail and put him in prison and all of that. And he's now announced that he's married. This is the greatest picture of he and his wife with her holding his AR platform rifle, like on a beach somewhere. He's holding a handgun and she's holding the rifle. I don't know if it's the rifle that he used because I'm sure the lefties didn't give that back to him. But clearly he has rearmed himself
She has a whole sleeve tattoo.
Oh, I know. She's got a number of tattoos. Yep. I can't tell if that's a tiger claw on her leg there or not.
On her chest.
But whatever. He's gotten married, and he wrote in an X post back in the day, "I support the Second Amendment because without it, I might not be here today. Criminals attacked me. Struck me in the head multiple times. One pounded a gun at my face, pointed a gun at my face. I'm no hero. I had no choice but to defend my own life in that moment. I'm not in prison, and I'm alive because the founders recognized our God-given right to self-defense, and the jury recognized the simple fact that if you believe we must defend the Second Amendment, with everything we've got, follow me," when he was encouraging people to follow him on the social media.
You know, I remember the former friend of mine who you know, more or less cut me out of her life. The thing that she said that really was a tipping point for her, among other things she didn't like, but the tipping point was when I had posted on social media after the jury acquitted him, I had said, "Amen, that was the right decision."
Yes. And then they defriended you because of that?
Well, that wasn't that was, I guess, what really got under her skin. And then there were a few other comments or beliefs I had that were kind of the nail in the coffin.
Yeah. Well, congratulations to Kyle Rittenhouse and his new wife, Bella. And search for those pictures. Some pretty good, pretty cool pictures. Good for that kid. I'm glad he's moved on. I don't even know what he's doing these days. Remember, they tried to keep him from going to college, and I mean, the left literally tried to destroy his life because he stood up for his rights and was out trying to protect property as hooligans were and Antifa were absolutely destroying that town. In Kenosha, right? Is that where it was?
I can't remember. That sounds right, though.
Yes.
I don't blame him for being, you know, a little incognito for a while because things were getting really crazy. I can't even imagine the amount of death threats that he received.
Well, he seems well prepared to defend himself.
Yep. And so does she.
Yeah, no kidding. She looks like she's pretty comfortable. She's got proper trigger discipline and everything holding that AR platform rifle.
Well, you know, you're kind of dissecting the way that she's handling that gun, just like you did when Tim Walz went hunting, remember? And everyone was making fun of him with the gun. And now he's saying he thinks that his masculinity scares Republicans.
Is a
he's
threat.
So masculine. He scares Republicans.
We've got that soundbite. We're not making that up. Go to cut 13 for us there, Ethan, please.
This notion of toxicity in masculinity needs to be separated.
Oh,
and I think it's been conflated. And I think we're going to have to work on that a little bit. And I think there is a crisis.
I think some of us scare them. I think I scare them a little bit, why they spend so much time on this. No, I'm serious, because I can fix a truck. They know I'm not bullshitting on this.
Yeah.
I'm not putting this in people's grill. I don't know if my identity is not hunting. My identity is not football coaching. My identity is not, you know, a beard and a truck.
It's not.
His identity's not a beard.
Not
in
a beard.
Truck? What?
I don't know what he's saying there. He's arguing that he is masculine, and people just don't give him credit for it. You know what? You might be able to work on a truck, and you might have actually gone hunting one time when you, as awkwardly as you hold a gun, but the way you pranced out onto the stage in that campaign appearance with Kamala Harris destroyed all of that. That one image is all people needed to see to understand about your masculinity.
You mean when he looked like he was the next contestant on The Price is Right?
Yes, thank you.
Come on down, Tim Walz. And he's you know what it looked like is that woman out of The Sound of Music where she kept bowing over and over and over again, remember, with the crowd? That's what Tim Walz reminded me of. It was odd behavior.
Yeah. It's true.
It was like he had taken some drug to amp himself up.
Speaking of odd behavior, and I'm really not inviting the self-abuse here, but the text line apparently continued to tear me up over the Liam Neeson.
Well, let's hear how you think it's pronounced.
I said Liam Neeson and had an affair with Pam, right? And everybody, she jumped on me immediately for saying Liam. It's not Liam. It's Liam. Okay, well, whatever. And I've always called him Liam Neeson.
So here's a few of the comments. One person said it's how the Greeks pronounce it because Mark tried to claim that it was a regional thing. That's why he says Liam. Somebody else said, does Mark also say for Sean, Sion?
Probably not, unless he pronounces it that way.
Dude can't say folks correctly. How in the world folks. Would he say Liam properly?
I hate to bring this up again, but Kim, how do you say yolk?
Like an egg yolk?
You did pronounce the L.
No one would say yolk. Like it's the L is there, but I don't sit there and say an egg yolk.
There's an L in it.
There's a silent M in some words, but that doesn't mean you say it. It's silent.
Somebody's even making fun of the way I say white. My nephews make fun of the way I say the word white. I don't know why.
I didn't want to say anything, but I noticed it when you did it.
Why?
Because that's just you, Mark. Somebody,
there is a Family Guy episode where they do this whole bit on Cool Whip. And the way you say it is Cool Whip.
Cool Whip.
It's like when people say soccer ball. Soccer. I'm like, no, it's just soccer. Not soccer.
Say that.
I'm not saying you say it. I know other people who say it, and it's annoying.
Somebody online, I'd have to go back and see who said it here, said that I overpronounce, that what I'm doing is overpronouncing my words.
You folk do that all the time, all right?
I'm just properly pronouncing words. Oh, I'm sorry for doing it that way.
Bindi's pointing out how Candace Owens said, instead of buried, she said buried. And I totally agree. I called Nicole Murray out for that, I think last week. She buried.
You did call them out.
No,
it must be something original, like wash. Like people that say wash instead of wash.
Is anyone listening from the East Coast? We need to know if that's a regional thing. Buried versus buried.
I don't know. It's a good question. Again, you know what they mean.
Barely.
Like you knew
buried
I was talking about Liam Neeson when I said that. You knew who I was talking about. So the fact that I just pronounce it a little differently, it's not that big a deal.
Well, you could call it a little differently. I call it wrong.
And you're entitled to your opinion on that, Kim. Thank you. As well as the dozens of people that commented on it, apparently, on the text line. 314-241-9797. We do open that up and let people express themselves. And if they keep it clean, even the guy that every morning greets us with a "you guys suck," we will share some of that on the air with you. And really, how we plan to use it eventually is to ask you a question of the day and then let you comment on it. But right now we're just kind of breaking it in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of free form right now.
People are having some really funny comments about Mark in particular. No one's really been that mean to me. I can take it, but no one's really been spewing hate at me. It's mostly just Mark.
Yeah, pretty much. That's okay. The show's got my name on it. I got tough skin. I'm not too worried about that. All right, Kim, what do we have coming up in your segment? Kim,
well,
on a whim.
This is a topic I would love to get your opinion on the text line, 314-241-9797, because UHC, if you have United Healthcare and you use SSM clinics, you might be out of network come January. I'm going to tell you the amount that UHC is saying that the healthcare system is demanding in order to keep people.
Kim on a whim.
Before I get into what I really wanted to talk about, we had more responses on the text line when we were talking about the way that Mark pronounces several words, which apparently, I tend to make fun of him for, but some of you have also picked up on this. We were asking if the word bury, like I'm going to bury this dog bone, if you say
like
bury.
Can bury this issue?
Maybe, but no, we're going to rehash it again, because Candace Owens said bury. I'm like, it's not bury. And we said, is it a regional thing? No. Someone who listens to the show,
Nicole,
just texted
Murray
in, say,
said that.
North Carolina native here. No, it is not regional dialect. Now, as far as Mark pronouncing Liam Neeson's name, Liam, and trying to claim that it was a regional thing, someone put, reminds me of my big fat Greek wedding when the dad says Ian Miller instead of Ian. Do you pronounce his name Ian?
No, I would say Ian. Why?
Well, it would be fitting with all the other ways that you say
that's
words.
Not the same thing.
Anyway, just thought I would share. Please let us know if you have other things that you've picked up on. back to the story I wanted to talk about. This is big news because this is going to affect some 100,000 people across the St. Louis area on both the Missouri and the Illinois side. And that is that there are these stalled negotiations between UnitedHealthcare and SSM Health. And it's threatening this in-network medical coverage for all of these people. And if they can't figure something out and come to some sort of an agreement, then come January 1st, all of a sudden, you're out of luck. You're no longer in-network. And if you have the doctor you've been seeing for years and years and years, you're going to be paying a lot more to go see that doctor. Now, wow. I trust that there will be some sort of an agreement made at some point. The question is, what does that look like? How long does it take? UnitedHealthcare is saying that SSM Health wants a 14% price increase over 2 years, which he says would increase the health care costs by over $41 million. And they're blaming each other, saying, no, you're being unreasonable. No, you're being unreasonable. And it's like children where there's no resolution.
So anybody in the SSM system who prefers that system but has UHC healthcare might have to change doctors.
Well, yeah.
If you like your doctor, you can't keep your doctor because you're going to have to go somewhere else.
It's not like this hasn't happened before. In fact, Debbie on Facebook is saying, didn't SSM pull that with Anthem months back? I don't remember specifically if that was what happened, but I do know that, I mean, yeah, Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield has had issues trying to come to some sort of an agreement because of cost. But I just think about the prices that some of these hospitals charge. Now, insurance really, really drives me bonkers. It feels like such a scam to me, but the amount that these hospitals bill for also seems ridiculous, where it seems like they're doing these unnecessary things to be able to bill the insurance companies because they know they can. If you go say, hey, I'd like to pay in cash, you'll get a much lower price.
Of course you will.
And in some cases, they'll even work with you, slash some of that. And if you say, hey, I'm having a hard time paying, I'm not saying I've done this, but say, hey, I'm having a hard time paying, they'll give you an even bigger discount. Like, it's that easy to do it. But then when they know healthcare insurance companies are involved, all of a sudden the prices are astronomical. So no wonder these insurance companies are trying to not cover it. And so then it ends up hurting us. So I think I blame both. I'm not saying it's just the hospital by any means, because the insurance companies find every single way possible to avoid having to pay. And that's why people are mad, and how people are crazy enough to say that what Luigi Mangione did was justified. And in no way do I agree with that.
I'm so tired of that guy. I'm tired of that story.
I am too.
Ugh.
But I'm never going to say that murdering someone is okay just because you're mad about healthcare coverage. But I can empathize with the fact that it's irritating when you have something that should be covered and insurance sits there and tries to say, oh, for this reason, we're not covering it.
Well, in this Mangione case, if they end up throwing out the evidence they found on him at that McDonald's that day, they may not be able to prosecute him. The gun was in the bag, the his computer, his fake IDs, all this stuff they found in there, and his diary, and now the defense is trying to get it thrown out. That's a separate story, obviously, than what you're covering, but it's good for people to know that because... Yeah. So this would take effect after January 1st. Is that what you're saying?
On January 1st.
On January 1st.
You would no longer be in network.
Wow.
Yeah. Hmm. I mean, that's so frustrating. It's already hard enough sometimes finding a doctor in network that you really, really like. People are willing to drive far.
You know, I met a medical doctor the other day who is independent. And there aren't all of that many of them anymore. Remember when he used to go to your doctor's group and then they would be affiliated with BJC or SSM, whichever, and then they would have privileges in those hospitals?
I thought they still did.
Well, now they're almost all owned by the hospital systems. So now most of the practices are BJC practices or SSM practices. There are very few independent physicians out there anymore. And it's changed the way they handle billing and everything. It really has. And they put out, like, during COVID, one reason you couldn't get, certain COVID treatments that you needed, hydroxychloroquine, whatever, in St. Louis County, in any practice associated with the hospital systems, is that they put out protocols denying that for purely political reasons, in my opinion, not medical reasons or scientific reasons, because there was plenty of evidence that it was cheap and it worked. But they told their doctors not to prescribe it and to instead put people on ventilators, which caused a lot of deaths. Mm-hmm. That's my take on it. They could have saved thousands of people if they had just been willing to be flexible on those protocols, but they wouldn't.
Right.
And a lot of that gets back to some of the positive changes RFK is making in Washington, D.C.
Well, for example, the pediatrician I take my kids to, they're the guy's leaving and the new one coming in, I guess, they're saying that anyone who's on a delayed or doesn't do vaccines, they're having to limit the amount of patients they can take moving forward because, they won't say this, but it's because of insurance. Insurance puts a cap on the number of those types of patients that they can have, and I guess they've reached the max, so you're just out of luck.
Wow. Wow. There you have it. All right, Kim, that was a good one. Coming up, we're going to talk to Nick Schroer about his new gun bill that he's introduced and will be taken up after the first of the year when the legislature goes back into session. We've got Jeff Manasso as well, the report on farmers reacting to that $12 billion farm aid package. All that and more right after the top of the hour at 8 o'clock. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.